It's Wednesday, the 2nd of December 2020. It's Jim and it's the World of Bonds. Today's advent calendar chocolate was a 12. There was positive news out of Congress yesterday around the prospect for fresh fiscal stimulus. The numbers being talked around are over $900 billion, and it's an agreement between both Democrats and Republicans. Not all of them, but you know, there is a significant chance now we do get something passed through Congress. And this spooked bond investors in a way that perhaps is a bit disproportionate to the level of stimulus there, but it does show that Congress may well work together to deliver some Joe Biden stimulus, even though the Senate is still up for grabs, obviously, but is likely to be Republican. And so there's always going to be this tension around Joe Biden's ability to get fiscal stimulus done. So this goes in the right direction for the US economy. Led to expectations of higher growth, obviously, and more bonds being issued. So a huge sell-off in US Treasuries, a 10 basis point sell-off at 10 years. We're now up at 0.94%, the 10-year bond yield, which is around about the highs that it's been this year post the coronavirus shutdowns in March. Inflation expectations are also rising. They're up at 1.83%. They have been rising for a while, but a big jump up yesterday. That's the highest for a year and a half. Now, remember, that's still below the Fed's target under the Fed's old 2% mandate, and much below what people expect the new Fed target to be under its average inflation targeting regime. We don't know exactly what they are targeting, but what they say is that if inflation has been below target for a while, they can cope with it being above target for some time in the future. So, you know, but there's still some room, I guess, for inflation expectations to rise further, given that new Fed mandate. Now, no Fed rate hikes priced in for the next year and a bit. So no one's expecting the Fed to move at any time soon. So this rise in bond yields is really about supply, and it's really about inflation expectations, not around significantly higher Fed rate hike expectations. Now, normally when US yields rise, the US dollar does okay, but it can't catch a break at the moment. So it's down about 3% since the start of November on a kind of trade weighted basis, and yesterday it fell by over 0.5%. The main beneficiary of that was the euro. It's rallied around about a cent to nearly 1.21 against the US dollar this morning. The ECB won't like that a bit. They're meeting on the 10th of December. They've already pre-announced that there's going to be some stimulus there. So, you know, they've kind of given us forewarning that they're going to do something. This week, we've also had year-on-year Eurozone, harmonised Eurozone, so across all the Eurozone countries, inflation came out at minus 0.3% year-on-year. It's been there for a couple of months. So in deflation for months on a row now in the Eurozone. And I think, you know, having already pre-announced stimulus, this news of a stronger euro is bad for the ECB's point of view. I think we probably expect some significantly more stimulus than perhaps we might have otherwise had. Final thing I want to talk about today is a new Fed paper about corporate debt overhangs has come out. Always interesting. It's on their Liberty Street Economics website. And the paper is called The Costs of Corporate Debt Overhang Following the COVID-19 outbreak. It came out on December the 1st, if you're looking for it. It worries that a combination of too much bank and bond debt together, so companies have too much of this stuff relative to their cash flows, and that will, in an environment of weak growth already, cause those companies with corporate debt overhangs to grow much more slowly than those without. And I guess the worry is that pretty much all companies have taken on significant amount of debt. So that dispersion between companies that grow faster and grow slower isn't going to be very stark. Everyone's going to grow more slowly than they should be growing. The theory behind this that they talk about in the paper, it's by Blickel and Santos, suggests that equity investors don't approve new projects that might be very profitable and growth driven in a world where there's a corporate debt overhang, because they just perceive that all the benefits of that go onto paying down debt, either interest payments or maturity payments, and so they don't finance growth opportunities as a result of that. Now, the paper looks at the global financial crisis. I do note that the Fed doesn't call it that anymore. It calls it the Great Recession. I don't know if that's a conscious high-level decision to change the narrative around financial services and the Fed's role in that, but nevertheless, the Great Recession, they look at that. And they show that during the Great Recession, those companies with high levels of debt versus EBITDA, which is their proxy for cash flow, grow 3% more slowly than those that don't have that cash flow burden. In normal times, it's 2% more slowly. So a significant decrease in growth prospects. And they kind of think that COVID-19 will have an even bigger impact, given the impact on cash flow that's come around there. So in the global financial crisis, it was mainly about the debt burden going up, not so much about the cash flow. This time we've got the debt burden going up and cash flows themselves generated by the business have fallen. Not just that, they point out that debt forgiveness normally plays a significant role in reducing corporate debt overhang on a kind of macro level. But they worry that this time round, the dispersion of corporate debt, and I guess they are thinking about mutual funds, but specifically they talk about CLOs, which are collateralized loan obligations. So they are saying that there are lots of these owners of the, especially lower rated corporate debt, and that makes restructuring more difficult, slower, and debt forgiveness more problematic and unlikely to take place. So the resolution for debt overhang is more difficult to achieve. So worth a quick read, that paper. This podcast, as always, is for professional investors only, is never investment advice, and enjoy the rest of your week. Bye.